My name is Adrian. I was just 11 years old when I was diagnosed with cancer. It was incredibly scary, but I was so lucky to be taken care of by the team at Northern Light Cancer Care in Brewer. They made me feel like more than just another patient. They made it feel like my home away from home. We didn't have to travel far for treatment, and I got to spend as much time as possible with my family and my dog, Leo.
Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center's largest fundraiser, Champion the Cure Challenge, helps ensure that everyone who needs cancer care can receive it close to home. You can paddle the Penobscot on September 13th, take a horseback trail ride in Corinna on September 27th, or participate virtually.
It's a way for our community to help one another and show support for every person facing a cancer diagnosis.
Every dollar raised stays local to support research and patient care at Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center. To register, donate, or learn more, visit ctcchallenge.org.
The Spring Tent Sale is one of Hammond Lumber Company's most anticipated home improvement sales events. But you don't have to wait until spring to get incredible savings. During Hammond's Fall Tent Sale, September 11th through the 13th at Hammond's Belgrade location, Hammond has again gathered thousands of building materials from all of their locations across Maine and New Hampshire. All sale items are first come, first serve, while supplies last. Depending on when you arrive, you could find deep discounts on interior and exterior doors, windows, kitchen, bath, and flooring materials, spruce and hemlock, pine and pressure treated, decking, and even metal roofing. Easy in, easy out parking with forklift loading available and plenty of team members on hand to help with your selections. Bring your truck, bring your trailer, and load up the savings during the Fall Tent Sale, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, September 11th through the 13th, rain or shine, at Hammond Lumber Company in Belgrade.
The Voice of Maine runs various contests and giveaways at various times for our listeners. To view our complete contest rules, log on to WVOMFM.com and click the contest rules link under About Us. That's WVOMFM.com. VOM weather from the Hammond Lumber Company Weather Desk.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a slight chance for showers. Lows around 50. Sunshine returns Monday. Highs near 70. Sunny stretch continues into Tuesday. Highs again near 70.
Maine, Maine, Maine outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your way, so get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, the longest running outdoor talk radio in the entire United States, and we're so glad to have you on board, and we hope you'll stay with us because we have a fun-packed, jam-packed, information-type show tonight. I wanted to mention something, though, before we get down to the nitty-gritty, that you who listen to the show, if you're a regular listener, you know that yours truly is a passionate deer hunter. I've been for many, many years, like a couple of guys we're going to talk to in a minute. And I have a habit when I'm driving to look left and look right when I'm on these secondary roads. And today, this is the gospel. I'm not embellishing this at all. Today, I saw 12 deer.
Ooh, that's a good sign.
Different groups.
That's a lot.
This is
12.
I'm kidding, not kidding. And this is on the back roads. And I saw 8. I went to shoot my gun this morning at the range, Catherine. I saw, on the way back, my son and I saw 8 deer. Then I saw 4 coming in tonight.
Wonderful news.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
My question to all of you, and you can think about this, I did some research because I was curious. What was special about today? What brought these deer out in such unbelievable numbers? I've never seen anything like it. There's an answer to it. And
do you have the answer?
I have the answer.
Oh, good.
and it's not something that I knew, but it's something that I learned by getting on the internet.
Ooh, are we going to guess before you give us the answer?
So, you folks at home, let's think about that. And we may have a chance to if you've got a theory on that, give us a call. And what's the number, Catherine, if somebody wants to call?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and I'll introduce our guest in just a minute. First, the crew, the man behind the toggle switches in there in Operations Center, he's a guy that knows what to do when he produces a show. Norman F. Plord.
Is there a hidden message in there someplace?
No, you're doing a great job. We love you.
How you doing?
We love you. And also, the co-host, she's a registered Maine guide. She's a member of the Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council. And she's proud of the fact that she hails from our favorite county, way, way up north, Aroostook County.
Catherine. Aroostook County, the best county.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. I love being here. Highlight of my week.
You better. Nice to have you here. Our guest tonight are two gentlemen from the Penobscot County Conservation Association. On my right, Dan Bell, who's the president of PCCA, and he's also the newly appointed recreational safety coordinator for the Maine Department of Fish and Wildlife. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And to his right is the former president of the PCCA and a man I've known since I was a kid. And he and I go way back. You're almost as old as I am.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's a former president of the PCCA, and he's very active with the PCCA. And they just came back from the gun show, which was all a weekend affair. And they have had a wonderful time. They're a little tired, but Woody, nice to have you here. Woody Higgins.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you here. And you're looking pretty good, pretty spry for an old guy.
Well, I'm pretty tired, but hopefully I look good.
Yeah. Well, we're always tired, aren't we?
Yeah, you
bet. And, okay, nice to have you gents with us. And we're going to talk about the future of fish and game clubs in the state of Maine. And I think you'll find it interesting and inspiring, I hope. Let's see, a couple of things to remind you. Again, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 and 103.9 in Bangor. And you can also hear us on the Internet. We are streaming live online, so check that out. If you have friends in faraway places, they can listen to us live, right?
WVOMFM.com.
All right. And also remember the sponsored show every week for years now by the Northwood Sporting Journal. If you'd like to get a copy, there's a bull moose on the cover. That's a September issue.
And I love that cover.
And isn't that a nice cover?
Yeah, it's a nice cover.
That's a handsome moose.
That's a nice moose.
With a big dewlap, too. Yeah. Anyway, check it out, and you can buy it at the newsstand, or you can call Alicia during the week at our office at 732-4880, and she'll make sure you get a subscription. And also check out our website at sportingjournal.com. Okay, a couple of items from the Outdoor Digest before we get to the trivia question. Old Town Trading Post is having a big customer appreciation day this coming Saturday. It would be the 12th and the 13th, and they're going to be have discount deals there. There's a free lunch.
Ooh, and you don't mean food. I'll go anywhere there's free food.
Oh, yeah. Last year they had some pretty good burgers there and some other stuff. And
very nice.
So anyway, that's at the Old Town Trading Post. They have two locations now, both in Lincoln and in Old Town on the Bennick Road. And they got some great deals, so it's a good place if you're getting ready to buy ammo or buy a gun or trade in your gun. This is the day to do it. Old Town Trading Post, September 12th and 13th, this weekend. And what else here? I want to remind you, too, the expanded archery season's wide open. Yours truly.
Yay.
I was down there in the gloom there, in the fog. Can't tell you where. But during
top
the
secret.
And I saw about 8 o'clock, I was in a tree stand. I had four deer come out.
Nice.
Three does about 60 yards, and then behind me, directly behind me, Catherine, I swear this is true, I heard something, look back, and there's a doe under my tree stand.
Oh, no kidding.
And here I am. I can't get a bow around that way at my age. Are you kidding me? So anyway, she never saw me. She's looking my direction. Never winded me, never eyeballed me, and I thought maybe she might wander in the right direction for a shooting lane, but she didn't. So anyway,
but it's exciting,
you know, just to see the deer.
Nice.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Let's see. What about the bucket stalkers?
No, they still have the $6,000 reward for the West Musquash bucket stalkers. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's so upsetting to me that that was a native fishery and someone put bass in there. Like, there's not a million other places to fish for bass. So they still are looking. If anyone has any information, to please call. It's anonymous when you can call, and you know the number for
that's,
that.
The number is, Norm, 1-800-ALERT-US.
ALERT-US, right. And you can call anonymously, and I hope someone does know something. Yeah.
Aren't you amazed that a guy my age has that right
That's
up there?
Good, because I've probably told people that number 1,000 times and I can't remember.
Also, you have a brief report on there was an incident on the fly-in
up
in
Greenville.
Yes,
well, I went up to that Saturday, and I go every year. I'd love to see the float planes come in. There are all kinds of competitions. I did not happen to see this, but yesterday a gentleman who was okay, a pilot, crashed his plane near Beaver Cove, and his plane is now 90 feet underwater up there. Wow. So I don't know how they're going to get it out with balloons and float it to the surface or something.
But he survived.
He did survive. Yeah. And I think it was minimal injury from what I heard. It was a very scary incident. Because that's always such a fun event for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Must have been. Yeah.
Pilot from Connecticut, I believe.
Oh, it was? Because they come from everywhere. And yes, it's so much fun to see all the different planes. I just love the whole day up there. It's great fun.
Yeah, I've been up there.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Now we're going to bring in the band.
Ooh, yay!
Oh, he's right on the button. Look at him, he's sharp tonight. Man, you are on it tonight. You're on your game, Norm.
I'm a big boss bass, and you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Okay, anyway, we finally got the music. That's good. Just a couple things real quick. Fish and Wildlife Department has a complete listing of all the hot fishing spots all over the state of Maine. You can go to their website, right, Dan? You get those?
Yes, you can.
But I'm going to give you a brief teaser. Real quick, we're going to just whip through this. Sebago Lake area, rainbow trout. You can be caught at Stanley Pond in Hiram and Little Ossipee Lake in Waterboro, as well as Elk Pond. And be sure to check out the Kennebec River up in the Forks. And let's see, Grand Lake region, Simpson Pond and Rope Bluffs, and Fox Pond in that area is accessible, and they have both brown trout in there. In the Rangeley Lake area, check out Kibbe Township Hurricane Pond. It's a 20-acre pond in Kibbe Township, and some good trout fishing there. And don't forget the Rapid River if you're looking for big brookies. And let's see, the Moosehead area, Piscataquis River is very dry, but the west branch of the Penobscot below Sebumic is still providing some fishing, according to the biologist. Have you ever been there, Woody, in the foxhole?
A couple times a long time ago.
Yeah. Yep. I've never been there. I've fished the Big Eddy, but I've
the
never
Big
been.
The Big Eddy, too. Yep.
Have you ever been up there in the foxhole?
No.
Yeah.
No.
The foxhole's that stretch below a Sebumic Dam, right?
Yep. Right close.
Yeah. Yep. That's supposed to be pretty good. And let's see. Penobscot region, salmon stocking program, Pedumacook. Did I say it right?
Pemadumcook.
So? What?
Say it again.
Pemadumcook.
Oh, I didn't.
Pemadumcook.
I don't
okay.
know how to say it right.
Pemadumcook.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's
thank
a
you,
German name, Pemadumcook. Anyway, whatever you call it, it's a good place to go for some salmon fishing late in the fall. And I'll see what else. We've got one more, I think, here up in the Fish River area. You've been up there, right, Woody?
Fish River? Square Lake. It's about the only
Square Lake, okay. Yep. You know the thoroughfare there?
Yeah, the Warden's Pool.
Yeah, that's good, the Warden's Pool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. I've caught some nice brookies in that thoroughfare. Probably Norm has, too, right?
No, I haven't. That's between Eagle and Square?
Yeah, you never fished that?
Never fished thoroughfare. I fished that in a Eagle, but never went up
there. Yeah, that thoroughfare is great. Hot spot. Also, a place where I grew up when I was a kid, Nickerson Lake in New Limerick, which is right outside Holton. You must be familiar with that, Catherine, right?
I tell nobody in the county where I fish.
You know? No, is that right? No. All right. Okay, that wraps up the fishing report. And again, our guest tonight, if you just joined us, Dan Bell, president of the PCCA, and Woody Higgins, former president of the PCA, and a guy who's been helping them out for years and years and years. We're going to talk to them in just a few minutes. But first, before Norm takes the commercial break, we are going to have the outdoor trivia question. If you get the right answer, Catherine's going to make sure you get a 16-foot Lundboat, 20-horsepower Merck.
If that's a prize, I'm winning it myself.
No, we're just messing with you, folks. But we will give you something almost as good. We'll give you one of my popular books, the Maine Deer Hunter's Logbook.
Nice. Now, this is my favorite thing to tell people. I got him to sign his latest book. And do you remember what I made you sign in the cover? I tell everybody this.
No, I don't remember.
To the best co-host ever.
Oh, I said that?
You did. And that's how you signed my book.
Oh, I did, really?
You did.
What about Wiggy Robinson?
Well, it's too bad. You know, he's not sitting here. I am.
God bless Wiggy. He did he did a great job, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we love you both. Okay, let's see. Woody has the question. And if you get the right answer, again, we'll get a copy of my Maine Hunter's Logbook. And what's the question, Woody?
When is it illegal to shine a light on a deer in a field?
All right. What's the number?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, you guys at home, ruminate. Gals, too, ruminate on that. We'll be right back. Okay. We are back with Maine Outdoors, and Judge Woody Higgins is standing by to answer, to check the veracity of your answer. We have a caller, Norm.
Yes, we do.
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. We'd like to know your first name and where you're calling from, and then you can tell Judge Higgins your answer.
Okay. My name is Frank, and I'm calling from Durham, Maine. And the answer would be evening. You should not be lighting up the fields in the evening. Well, jack lighting.
No, we're looking for the dates.
There are specific dates.
Yes, specific dates.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. I apologize.
But that's partly right. Do you want to take a guess at the date just for fun?
I would say that during the deer season, probably from expanded archery to the end of black powder.
I think that is good enough.
That's it. You're only off by 5 days.
Bingo.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, good job, Frank.
I appreciate it.
The actual dates, if you check your law book, are September 1 to December 15th, but you are so darn close, and we're feeling magnanimous tonight, so we're going to give it to you. Good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we appreciate you listening. Anything else on your mind tonight, Frank?
No, I'm just looking for bird season. We have a couple of Britneys that my wife and I love to go up and bird hunting.
Lucky
so we're really
fun.
Looking forward to it. Actually, we're going to try our look at some snipe this year. We've never done that before, so we're kind of looking into that.
Oh, great. Well, have a good hunt. Be safe. And stay on the line, Frank, so Norm can get your address. And I'll send you the book this week. I'll send it right out to you. And I hope you enjoy the book.
Yeah, and I really enjoy the show. I listen every week. Thank you for having it.
Well, thank you. Without you, it wouldn't be any fun. Appreciate the call. And stay on the line, Frank, okay?
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
And good luck in the grouse woods.
Yeah, that's my favorite season. I love grouse season.
All right, so we have disposed of the trivia question, and we've taken the commercial break, so we're right on schedule.
This for the first time in like weeks.
I know. We're good.
We don't know what to do now. We're like, this is going well.
Norm's on his game. We're on our game. That's great.
It's going well.
Okay, let's start out, folks who don't know you as well as we do. Dan Bell, you're the president of PCCA, and you have a new job as the recreational safety coordinator for IF&W. Tell the folks at home a little bit. How did you end up in PCCA and being a safety coordinator?
Well, I took my hunter safety course at PCCA in 1976. And, of course, as it happens, life gets in the way and you do other things. And I was an admin for the Facebook group Maine Deer Hunters. And I wanted to reach back out to PCCA and see if there's something that we could do to connect and bring more programming to our youth. And that led me to speak to Woody Higgins, and the rest is history.
All right. And you're looking forward to a new job at IF&W?
Absolutely. I started about 3 weeks ago, and it's been an absolute blast so far. We're just looking to expand our programming, whether that be our hunter safety courses, our next step programs to this area. They're already here, but we want to expand them as much as we can. I'm a county boy myself, and we'd love to get more programming up in that area as well.
Okay, well, let's say we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 county people here.
Nice.
Woody, you're not from the county.
Penobscot County.
But not the county.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, Woody, how long have we known each other?
I'm thinking about 70-odd years.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess about 75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That is. That's amazing friendship. Yeah.
And Woody's folks were friends with my folks?
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Oh,
yeah. It was so many years ago. Anyway,
you know, my mother was a Higgins. I want to talk to you later about what Higgins clan are you?
Well, we probably shouldn't get into that.
Oh, I know. Maybe. No. But after the show, we'll chat.
Yeah. Woody, I know your background, but tell the folks at home, how'd you happen to wind up in PCCA?
I did... About the same as Dan. I took my first hunter safety at conservation camp at Ranch Pond, which was run by the PCCA in 1953. That's when I got my first hunter safety. That was a NRA hunter safety.
Yeah.
And when I got married and settled down, probably in the late 60s, early 70s, I joined the club, and I've been on the board almost all those since then. I've been president 5 times. And
have you really? Five times?
Yeah. Chairman of the Sportsman Show for over 20 years, and so it's just, it's a pleasure. It's a great group of people.
You bet.
Absolutely.
Sure, yeah. And PCCA is well known for all the good work it does altruistically for college scholarships and bringing kids along, and we're going to get into that. Before we do, though, I have to digress for a minute. I know you are, I don't know about Dan, but I know you're an avid deer hunter. I know that.
I am.
You have been your whole life.
Yes.
So we're looking for you to answer my question.
Oh.
What do you think? Seriously, I mean, I watch my fields very closely, and I've never seen anything like what I saw today. So I said to myself, Paul, I said, what's happened? Why are so many deer out in the middle of the day? And, I mean, I've been seeing deer a lot this fall, but not like
that.
Right. I've seen 12 deer today. Think about that. And I was only out for an hour. So what do you think, what's the cause and effect of that, do you think?
My thoughts would be that the change in the weather, the cooler weather, the rain is greening, things are greening up again, and does it have something to do with the atmospheric pressure with this weather change
coming
in?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It does make sense.
You're getting there. You've covered one of them. Dan, you have a thought on that? Are you a deer hunter?
Moon phase.
Oh, moon phase. That's
all
interesting, too.
Anything else?
No.
Are you a deer hunter?
I am.
Yeah. Norm, what do you think? I have the answers right here, man.
You do. I mean, I would have thought moon phase and atmospheric pressure, those are the...
Was it because, like, that's what I was thinking, like, the atmospheric pressure. It's been so dry, and now the rain and everything getting green.
Okay, I'm gonna give you guys the answer, and then we'll move on and
talk about
the PCC. This fascinated me because of what I saw, and I started trying to figure it out. And this is what this is artificial intelligence says. And I'll go through it real quick. Fresh, the green up.
Yeah.
When you have a drought, everything's so
brown,
so dry, and you have this sudden, it all of these plants suddenly, even the green grass, it puts out and it changes the quality of the forage like overnight.
Yeah.
According to them, it says drought dried vegetation can be tough and low in nutrients, but a rainstorm turns the field into a buffet of fresh lush
there
food.
You go.
So and they can smell it.
Okay.
Better.
Yeah.
They can smell it better. And also, they are so, we've had such little water, there's no standing water in the woods, so they're getting their moisture, their hydration, by getting to the field and eating all this water-laden grass.
Yep.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is interesting.
Kind of a perfect storm.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I thought that was fascinating.
I think that is fascinating. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I did too. So anyway, that's just an aside. Let's get back to the topic at hand. The Penobscot County Conservation Association has been around since when, Woody, roughly?
The 1920s.
Oh, it started in the 1920s.
Yeah, there's varying dates, but it was in the 1920s.
And how long have you been a member?
God, 50, over 50 years.
50
probably.
Years, okay. And you're still working your butt off. That's great.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, we commend you for that. That's
a lot
good.
Of fun. It's
a lot
fun.
A lot of old guys kind of give up and let somebody else do it. You're in there
working. You know what they tell you when you get old? Don't give up. Keep going.
That's right. Never give up.
Never give up.
Yeah, some general said that or something.
Yeah.
And you had your gun show this weekend with a different venue than you normally have.
Right.
How'd the gun show go? Dan, how'd it go?
Went fantastic. This was our first year at the new venue at the Bangor Elks Club. And we, of course, when you go into something like this in a new venue, new location, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But we had an amazing event, and everything seemed to go really, really smooth. So we're very, very pleased.
Yeah. And the proceeds from the gun show go where?
Well, they go to the... It goes to the club, basically.
And then the club distributes it.
And then the club distributes it, which obviously to pay for the club and the organization. But we do donate money to like Maine Youth Fish and Game and the 4-H camps at Greenland Point. And
you don't all use
great scholarships
too. You don't all use it to buy new gun rifles or anything like that.
No.
It goes to a good cause, right?
Right.
You bet.
The scholarship program from the club is paid for through the trust fund. The interest from the trust funds, and we now have 23 or 24 scholarships.
I heard it was 32.
We do 32.
UMaine, we have 24, and at Now at Hudson University, we have six. So we just started a couple of years ago.
That's incredible. That's wonderful that you guys do that.
You know, the New England Outdoor Writers Association, which I'm a member of, also donate a couple scholarships. And I've been to the scholarship banquet up there, and I'm always impressed with what you guys do. I mean, nobody that I remember gives as much in scholarships as the Penobscot County Conservation Association. Do you know how many hundreds dollars you've been given over the years?
God, 15 years ago, we were over $2
million. Oh, wow.
Isn't that incredible?
That is
amazing. 15
years
ago, and these are all $1,000 scholarships. So we're doing about $30,000 a year in scholarships.
So what is your answer to the doubters who say, oh, these gun shows are just a chance for somebody to go in and some crook to go in and buy a gun and not be accountable for it? What's the comeback to that?
You want me to?
Go ahead.
Oh, I can take that.
Okay, Danny, take that, Dan.
Yeah, no, there's no truth to that at all. Gun shows are strictly regulated on what we can do. And unfortunately, you know, things that happen out in the parking lot, which we're very cognizant of, and we take precautions against that, but we really can't control that. What we can control is what happens in the building. And any firearm that leaves that premises actually has to go through the background check. And so the idea that you can come into a gun show and just buy a gun and leave with it, and no, that's not true at all.
No.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a popular myth that needs to be talked about. And
yes,
when you come in the show, if you're carrying a gun, they're checked by our security people, our the club's people, and they're checked again when they go out to make sure that it was all legal.
My son, I guess it's okay to reveal this. I hope he doesn't mind, but my son Josh, 50-ish, late 50s. How old is that? I should know that. He's my third son. If you're listening, Josh, you know, Dad's getting old. 53, I guess. Anyway, he had a Remington, you know, the 30-06 pump that Hal Blood uses.
Yep.
He had one of those, and he's had it for a long time, and he decided it's too heavy. He wanted to do it. So he went in and traded it. He took that gun in, which was worth more than the one he bought, because it's a collector's item, I guess. These pump... pump action 30
right,
action.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
What is that? Do you know? I should know that, but I don't. Is that a Remington pump?
It's a Remington pump in there, and I don't know the model number.
It seems like all the big buck hunters in Maine all have them.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, he decided he wanted a bolt action gun, and he went in there and he talked to different people and they bargained a little bit, and they told him what they'd give him for his gun, and anyway, he ended up with a nice Ruger bolt action 308, and we shot it today at the gun range in Arlington.
How was that? Was
fantastic.
It fun?
And he loves it. Oh, he's tickle pink. What a nice gun that was. But he got a nice deal.
Yes.
You know, good
and
deal.
That's the idea of the show is to either trade or buy.
So we're going to take a short commercial break, folks, to make a dollar here for the station. And you folks at home, if they want to make a call and weigh in, what's the number, Catherine?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
All right. You folks at home, stay with us. We shall be right back. Okay, we're going to get down to serious business here, folks. But we're going to have fun, but we're going to get down to serious business. One of the main topics tonight, if you just joined us late, is we're going to talk about... In Maine, the Rod and Gun Clubs have been around for years and years and years, and they have a legacy. They've contributed a lot to the hunting, fishing legacy, outdoor legacy, and we were talking about that. And one of the reasons that I invited Woody and Dan in, we thought we might pursue this a little bit, and if you have any thoughts on it, we'd appreciate hearing from you. The situation is we have about 70 rod and gun clubs left in the state of Maine, not as many as there used to be. And one of the things I've noted, Catherine, a couple of times I've gone and been invited to speak about my paper and so forth, and one thing I've noticed is when I go to these that there seems to be a lot of gray beards there.
Oh,
and
no.
not very many young people. And so the concern is that young people aren't being recruited to be part of the outdoor legacy.
Right. That's a very real concern.
They're
playing video games at home and different things. That's a real concern.
So what are we going to do about that? Either one of you guys want to jump on that? Dan, you want to talk?
I'll jump in if you don't mind.
All
I'll kick Dan out of the way.
Okay.
I'm going to start with about 15 odd years ago, about the same time that Dave Trahan came in to be the leader of SAM.
Yeah.
He called a meeting at the SAM headquarters, and we went down, several of us from the PCCA went down to sit in this meeting. It was a meeting of the 10 best clubs in the state, and we were quite proud to be noted among the top 10.
So who decided that they were the top 10? Dave Trahan?
I'm not really sure. I think it's, I don't know. Yeah. I guess we just found out that we were in the top 10, okay. So we were pretty excited. And the gist of the meeting was for the clubs to sit down in a room together and talk about what they do and how they got there and how they do it.
This was 10 years ago.
10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
And we learned at the PCCA, we learned that a lot of these clubs have children's or kids' functions.
Yeah.
We didn't have that other than we had the Pond and Brewer and Hunter Safety.
Yeah.
And from that, we started a kids' day in June, Family Kids' Day, mm-hmm. and we had... Walking around at our sportsman show, you could just pick out different the main trappers and groups to come and talk about what they do,
yeah.
and have a setup.
Yeah.
And then because we have the pond, we started a kids' ice fishing day at the pond at the same time. Now, both these events are free. We don't charge anything for you to come and have a good time and do these things. And we realized that people came to that. And they said, we didn't know you were here. Brewer people and Bangor people. And
yeah.
Because we never had reached out into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I mean, we do have the scholarships and we did that kind of stuff, but that was another level. And then 3-4 years ago, I met Dan. Dan came to our club for our kids' day to do the archery.
Yep.
And got talking with him and said, wow. He became a member. He brought the archery program to the club, which...
That's wonderful.
We'll let him talk about.
Yeah.
And that brought, and this has brought the 3 or 4 events has brought new membership, younger membership. You know, this is what we talked about. I'm an old man.
Right.
And you need that.
New blood.
New blood coming in to keep the place going.
You bet.
And so I'll stop talking and let
Dan. It may be, I asked my own question, but it may be that you are in the top 10 because of the size of your membership of your club?
Would that be part of it? I think it's because of what we do and what those other clubs do, not just have a club and have meetings.
Okay.
But you do
the
stuff.
Activities you
go
have,
out into
yeah,
the...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How many people are? How many members do you have in your...
I think right now we have right around a little over 200.
Oh, wow.
Do you?
But we have a really strong nucleus of 30... roughly 30 volunteers that step yeah. up and help everything we do.
Every yeah. club has its workers, right?
Right. And you need
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So that's pretty good. You get that many members. I don't know what these other clubs have for membership. So, Dan, you want to address that?
Sure. We, with our membership, we're just getting our numbers together. We've been trying to... modernize our systems. And part of that is to revamp our website, increase our presence on social media, things like that. And one of the things that we looked at is how are we tracking our membership? And we're right now in the process of determining how many members are still on the rolls, how many have dropped out, how many have unfortunately passed on, and that kind of thing. I know when you do this, you kind of lose contact with folks. And so we're really taking a deep dive into basically all of our processes to try to bring them to become more modern. And when it's all said and done, we're probably going to be around 250 members.
And social media is probably a good way to recruit youngsters, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that was
yeah.
a big, when I met Dan and we talked and then he came involved with the club, that was something that I didn't know enough about to actually go and do it, but he brought that in and we now have a, what do you call it, the media committee?
Yeah, we have a media team.
Do you?
Yeah.
So there's a whole team, there's 4 or 5 people that can, if I need something or Dan needs something or somebody needs something to be put out on the Facebook or all the other places.
Are there any other clubs in Maine that are doing as well as you guys are for the community? I'm not familiar with all of them, but you must be. You met and talked with Trahan about
that. There's a fair amount of clubs that do scholarships at the conservation camp or
yeah.
but they probably because financially, I mean, you, we were very fortunate that when we ran bingo at the club for years, and that brought in tons of money. And we were very fortunate that the people at that time that were the, let's say, the leaders of the club started a trust fund, built a trust fund. So that trust fund basically finances our scholarship program pretty much.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Any monies that we send, like to Greenland Point and Maine Youth Fish and Game, we probably earned that during the year from all our events and stuff that we do every year to raise money. But all the scholarships are paid out of the trust fund.
So it's the interest from the trust fund that is generating these scholarships?
Yes, correct.
Can you name a couple of other outstanding rod and gun clubs in Maine, just off the top of your head?
Scarborough has a good club? Great club. That was one of the clubs that we learned when I say 15 years ago, that we learned what they did and what we didn't do to do that. And I'm old, you know. Sometimes I can't remember. Yeah. But there was a couple other clubs that were there that...
How about Presque Isle? Presque Isle is a good one.
Yeah. Dick Archer is a good...
Yeah, they're a pretty active club over the years.
Yes, they're a very good club.
Yeah.
I was more thinking of Southern Maine. So
yeah. Scarborough has a big membership like you do, probably.
And I think they have a range. They do.
They've got a fantastic range.
Fantastic range and stuff.
Now, I don't know. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I would assume some of these clubs are a little lackadaisical, not interested in getting so involved as you folks are. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to just say one thing. I worked with Becky Morrell from when she was at SAM about 10, 15 years ago. And we wanted, because Augusta and for the clubs in Northern Maine to go to Augusta to attend a meeting about the one we went to. So we offered our club as the place in Brewer. And between she and I, we contacted about 15 other clubs in Northern, Eastern, this area of Maine. Yeah. And we set up a date to them to come, and we were going to do the same thing. This is what we do. This is how we do it. Yeah. Can we help you? We're going to offer our help to them. We had one club show up.
Right. Yeah. That's not good.
And that's sad because we need to work together, no matter what our ideas are about the outdoors and bows or guns or whatever, to keep our legacy of outdoors.
Yeah.
Things we need to work together.
The Sportsman's Alliance of Maine has often mentioned the fact that these fishing and game clubs constitute a network of sorts. Is SAM doing anything to get some of these slower clubs off their duff?
Yep.
And they have a network, and they also have, it's Brett or Brent?
Brent St. Clair.
And if you're on that network, which I am and Dan is, you get notifications of things like legislative things or meetings or...
What is SAM doing to light fires on some of these clubs that aren't doing as well as they should?
That same struggle that I just talked about.
Yeah. So they're...
A lot of them are very... I'm not sure how you put it. They're kind of dumb.
I understand. That's a four-letter word. I understand that.
I would say resistant to change, perhaps.
Well, that's a lot better. Yeah.
Okay. So they need some of you clubs out there, if you're listening, or if you're a member of any of these clubs that aren't carrying the water as well as they should, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. And what's the number, Catherine?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about this subject, and we encourage you to call in. If you belong to a fishing game club, you have some thoughts, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Right now, Catherine has a message for you. Right, Norm?
I do.
Yes, she does.
For General Appliance Services, it is now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who has been doing service work for General Appliance for 35 years. Excuse me. Nothing has changed. Rebuilt Appliances available, parts and service for all makes and models, always reliable, giving you complete support after the sale. You owe it to yourself to come see our gas appliances for your camp. Gas refrigeration, gas lights, gas freezers, gas rangers, and Norm's personal favorite, the composting toilet.
Yes, ma'am, right away.
Come see us at our new location, just two doors up, still here, serving first-class customer service at 103 Center Street in Brewer, Maine.
Okay. Again, we're back. Thank you for that message. One of the other things that I think is interesting, you mentioned the fact that you've added an archery program which obviously I think would appeal to youngsters. Probably youngsters get a kick out of that, don't they?
They really do.
How long have you had the archery program?
We're going into our third year with it right now. Mm-hmm. And actually, what we found out is we're getting a lot of families that come together, and the parents shoot with their children. And
yeah.
And it's been a joy to do this. It's been a lot of fun.
I bet, yeah. Okay. We have a call for you. You may have a question. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Dan
Hi,
Bell.
Hi, Paul. This is Larry Balk, and you had me on a couple of months ago prior to Parker Brush Primitive Gathering.
Oh, Larry, good to hear from you. Hey, before you say
yeah,
I got
to
tell
you. Came
I gotta,
down to that, and boy, I think we had a ton of kids there.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that? You know the primitive gathering
yeah.
they have down there?
Yep.
I was down there, and they taught me how to start a fire with bow drills. Fabulous. So how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing excellent. But, you know, to address the topic of getting young people into it, that was really one of the prime drivers of putting that event together.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea came from we were teaching hunter safety, and we were seeing a large cohort of like single mothers with their kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of these were folks who, you know, were interested in homesteading topics and things of that nature. So we came up with the event, and it's pulled a lot of people in and gotten us a lot of members as well. Currently, our membership rolls are up to 232 as of the report from the day before yesterday.
Great. Great.
Oh, that is great.
And you know, we do scholarships as well, both for camps and academic. We have a $1,000 scholarship. It's the Harlan Hitchings Scholarship, and that's named after the recreational safety coordinator for Hancock and Washington County that passed away some years ago. And Harlan was an employee of the department until I think he was 94 years old. And he was a real force of nature.
All right.
So that's $1,000 academic scholarship there for the local four high schools on a juried basis.
Yeah. You're the Pleasant River Fish and Game Club, right, Larry?
That's correct.
Well,
it's actually Pleasant River Fish and Game Conservation Association.
Okay, in Columbia, yeah. And you mm-hmm. have a large membership too, right?
Yeah, 232 members.
Mm.
That's big. That's
I didn't realize wonderful. When I was down there. I didn't realize you guys were that big. That's great. Yeah.
Now we're very active. You know, we have events almost every weekend,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're trying real hard to bring in young people.
Yeah.
You know, we realize that's the future, and
you bet.
Excellent.
If you know, we're going to make that happen, we kind of have to diversify our interests maybe a little bit, and you know, but that's what it takes to keep it going.
Yeah, good for you.
Exactly.
Right.
It's good to hear from you. Larry, before you leave, I have to thank you for something that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, I guess. But you mentioned, when I was here, you mentioned a book called Deep Survival.
Yeah.
And I got that book, and it's probably the best, probably one of the most interesting books I've ever read in my entire life.
And, yeah, it's a great book, isn't it?
And my son's a survival nut type guy, and he loved it even better than I. It's a fabulous book. And you folks at home, if you're interested in survival, get a copy of this book. It's by a guy named Gonzalez, right?
Yeah, Lawrence Gonzalez.
Yeah, what a book that is. Deep Survival. Check it out. It is fantastic reading if you're interested
really
in that sort
glad
of thing.
To hear you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and thank you so much for tipping me off. I would have missed that entirely if you hadn't mentioned it, and I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, I hope we'll see you next year. Well, actually, I hope we'll see you before that because we got the Frozen Mosin shoot coming up in February, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Well, I hope in February I'm going to be down someplace where it's warmer, but we'll see. If I'm around, Larry, I'll check it out. All right.
Okay, well, maybe you can send other representatives down.
Okay, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And he was talking about hunter safety classes. Do you guys have a hunter safety class, right?
We have one coming up. Yep.
When is it, and how would people sign up if they wanted to? And what's the cost?
It's actually this coming weekend, the 12th and 13th, and it's right at the club at 570 North Main Street in Brewer. And they can go to the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife website, go to programs and resources, and click on Find a Traditional Course, and just scroll down to Penobscot County PCCA, click over to the online portal, and you can register at Eventbrite. And for the cost for us is $5.
Awesome.
And that basically just covers the promotional
nice.
Stuff that we have. Yep. So.
Okay, so let me get this straight here. It sounds a little complicated, Dan. So if somebody wants to get a hunting license, they got to take this course, right?
Well, they do.
And once they're 16, you have to have the course.
Right. Two-day traditional course.
If a single mother is listening and she's got a young guy, son who wants to, or daughter wants to get involved in this and take the course, they can't just walk into Penobscot County Conservation Association. They got to register online with the Fish and Wildlife Department. Is that right?
We can actually take walk-ins. We can do that. The preferred method is to do it online because that way we have the tracking means.
And numbers.
Are you overbooked right now, or do you have room, spaces left?
Right now, we have it capped at 60,
yeah.
And the last check at our Thursday dinner meeting, I believe we had 44 registered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about back when I took it, there were 200, 250. There were a lot of kids and adults taking their hunter safety course back then, and you know, just because of size and you know, the size of the building and you know, needs, we've had to pare that down and cap it at 60. But the last ones we've done over the past few years have been just fantastic.
Okay, so you do have some openings left, right?
I believe we do.
Good. We have a call. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Dan Bell and Woody Higgins. Go ahead. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. My name is Josh and I'm calling from Smithfield.
Yes, Josh. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thank you.
Doing good, Josh.
Doing fine.
Hey, so you guys made a comment earlier about how we need kind of more youth programs, and I definitely want to agree. Between what the PCCA is doing and all these other organizations, is fantastic. I mean, we got to preserve our heritage and our outdoors culture, and the best way to do that is by providing these opportunities for the youth, for any like rod and gun clubs and even trapping. If you're not currently doing anything for youth, like I challenge everybody to do at least one program a year.
Absolutely.
If you can touch just one life, you're gonna change somebody's life forever. If you can just touch one person, they're gonna tell the next person, they're gonna change the next person.
Yep.
So don't feel like you have to do this huge program. Just try to reach one family and you're gonna make a difference than you can realize.
Agreed. You bet.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, there's a cultural element to this. I would suggest, I think somebody mentioned it, that we have a lot of single mothers with kids. And when I was a youngster, my dad is the one that mentored me. And I think your dad.
My dad did,
mentored
right.
you. So a lot of these youngsters and may not have a mentor. And this is a chance for single mothers with a son or daughter who wants to learn to hunt or fish. It's a chance for them to get training. So connect with a fish and game club, right?
Right. Well, we see that at our events, single mothers come with their kids, and they're so happy. They said, wow, this is great, and this is how to get the kid away from the phone or whatever and be outdoors.
Absolutely, get him outdoors.
I've had calls from single mothers who've told me that. I've got my 12-year-old son, Johnny, he wants to learn to hunt, and I don't know where to start.
Right.
And I try to connect him with a fish and game club.
Yep. Well, we can speak to that with our archery program. We have several that have basically come up to us and said, my child wants to learn how to hunt and fish. We don't. How do we get started? How do we find out about this? And our answer is we can help with that.
Nice.
And so what we've done is we've created a mentorship program. And with that, we do learn to fish events. We do mentored hunts. And so, again, like Josh said, we encourage if you are a fishing game club, try and find a way to hold youth programming. It doesn't have to be a major event, just something. Grab a couple of rods, grab a couple of reels, and throw some lines in the water for kids.
All right, we have another caller. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Dan Bell and Woody Higgins. Go ahead.
Good evening. We actually live in West Virginia, but have a camp up here on Big Narrows and in Lincoln.
Yep.
And I'm looking for a place where I can go and just do some target practice.
In that area, in the Lincoln area?
Yes.
Do you guys know of a range or place?
Is there a fishing game club in Lincoln? I don't know.
I don't. I honestly.
Oh, yeah. Lincoln here is right here. Lincoln. No, that's Lincoln County, I guess.
I know. I looked that up, Norm. I looked it up and I found nothing.
Have you gone to the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife website?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, if you go onto the department's website and click Hunting and Fishing, one of the first pages it'll pop up. You should be able to find shooting ranges.
There you go. Good answer.
Oh, I kind of got on my little page. It says there's a Lincoln. It is Lincoln County, not Lincoln, Maine. Yeah sorry.
There's also in Millinocket, there's a Fin and Feather Club, and I'm sure they have a gun range.
Pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to take a little bit of a ride, you can always go to the Maine Youth Fishing Game Facility on the Stud Mill Road in Milford.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay.
And thank you. I've listened to you for years. So
glad to hear
really
that. And good luck to you.
You bet.
Before we're almost out of time here, I want to mention the Northwood Sporting Journal has an ad in there. Well, it's a complete list of all of the fish and game clubs in Maine with their telephone numbers. If you're a single mother with a youngster who wants to learn to hunt and fish and you don't know where to go, get a copy of the Sporting Journal. It only costs you $5. And there's a complete listing with telephone numbers of all the fish and game clubs in Maine. Connect with a fish and game club. That's absolutely the way to start your youngster.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys agree, right?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Right? Yes. 100%.
Thank you for being with us. Been a great night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for all you do to help bring youngsters into our heritage.
It really is.
And I hope you would have at least 20 more years doing this gun club.
Yay!
So do I. He has been an amazing mentor to me.
And you've all contributed, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And our guest next week is going to be... trout activist Bob Mallard is going to come in and raise hell with us tomorrow.
That sounds exciting.
Next week. All right here on
the Maine Outdoors.